Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
There is a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that marks the destiny of man to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, that hidden boundary that lies between God's patience and His wrath. Every one of you is on one of these roads. You're either on the road to righteousness or you're on the road to ruin. But all of us have to choose the road that we'll live our lives on. The road to righteousness or the road to ruin.
Wrong choices we make today will result in regrets tomorrow. In today's message, Dr. Wood characterizes two young men in the Bible who came to a crossroad in life. One chose the road to ruin, the other the road to righteousness. If you have a Bible at hand, we invite you to turn to Dr. Wood's text, Genesis chapter 25. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to be reading you in Genesis chapter 25, verse 24 through verse 34. This is speaking about the birth of two young men, two twins. And they teach us some great lessons in this passage of Scripture. It's talking about Rebekah in verse 24 when it said, "When her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red overall and hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint.' Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." There are two roads in life, and those roads are shown clearly throughout all the Scripture. Don't ever be afraid to ask questions that may seem rather dumb to you about the Scripture, because in the answers to those questions come some of the greatest benefits of life. This sermon started to take place in my mind over 40 years ago. I was sitting in an Old Testament class, and we were reading the early part of the book of Genesis. And there were two generations given, seven generations, one that came from Seth, who was the substitute for Abel, and one that came from Cain. And I asked a question that seemed rather dumb, but I said, why does the Bible take up all this space and all this time with these genealogies and these Hebrew names that nobody can pronounce? And the professor said, "This is a very important beginning of a road that runs all the way through the Scripture." So if you'll notice, these two generations in the first seven generations that lived on this earth, one started with Seth, and his name in Hebrew means a substitute. He was a substitute for Cain, who was put to death. And seven generations later, it ended with a man called Enoch, and that means consecrated. So here is a man that first started prayer. Seth began to call him the name of God. He is a man that came as a substitute for his brother that had been slain. And seven generations later, it ends with the man who's consecrated. But the other side of the line is Cain. And Cain's name means possessions. Here's a man who was consumed with possessions. And seven generations later, his lineage ended with a man named Lamech. And that means destroyer. And as that professor explained, that there are two clear roads all the way through the scripture, and it shows over and over again, and in those two roads are great lessons for us. He said, which side of the Red Sea do you want to be on? Egypt, the world side, or the promised land? The slavery of the world, or the blessings of God's land? You get to choose. He said, which side of Jordan do you want to be on? You can live in the wilderness of sin, or you can go to the land of milk and honey. It's your choice. You know, this all says to me, God has created man a free moral agent. You get to choose the course of your life. You get to choose how it's going to end up. You get to choose what impact you make on this world, or what impact the world makes on you. When I think about that responsibility, when I think that God has created me a free moral agent, I always think about an old poem I learned many years ago. I want you to listen to that poem because it teaches us great biblical lessons. There is a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that marks the destiny of man to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, that hidden boundary that lies between God's patience and His wrath. My young friends, this man Esau crossed that line. And you're in danger of crossing that line if you make bad decisions. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see the truth of that poem. We see it over and over again through Scripture. Two men, twin brothers, about 21 years old when this passage of Scripture is written about them, and they make two definite choices. Now, neither one of them are perfect. You can look at Jacob and say he's not a perfect man. He's a supplanter. But he did make the right choices to get on the right road of life. One of these roads leads to righteousness as God sanctifies us in our desire to walk closer with Him. The other road leads to spiritual ruin. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the road to ruin. Every one of you is on one of these roads. You're either on the road to righteousness or you're on the road to ruin. My prayer is that you'll seriously consider, which road am I going to walk on for the rest of my life? The 34th verse of this chapter, this passage that I read to you, says of Esau, he went his way. This is how this road to ruin starts out. You live your life your way. You decide what you want. You decide what is best for you. You decide what you like, what you're going to get out of life, what you're going to give in life. Now, how in the world did Esau get on this road to ruin? It's pretty clear to me in this passage of Scripture. First of all, Esau had no regard for the future. The road to ruin always starts when people don't think about the future. The birthright is something he was going to get in the future. It was something he would receive after his father died. The birthright went to the eldest son. You see, Esau had limited vision. He couldn't see down the road. He couldn't see what his actions today were going to do tomorrow. And as a birthright, here's what would have happened to him. The firstborn, first of all, received a spiritual blessing from his father. And then that spiritual blessing, there was a prayer, and there was much teaching that went along with it to prepare him to be the spiritual leader of the family when his dad died. Now Esau looked at the birthright and he said, be a spiritual leader. Be responsible for other people. Hey, am I my brother's keeper? Seems like I heard that before in this lineage. I don't want to be responsible for anybody else spiritually. I can hardly be responsible for myself. And Esau wasn't interested in that. He's looking for things to enjoy right now. He's looking for his hunting. He's kind of a sportsman. He's an outside guy. But he's not interested in preparing to be somebody's spiritual leader in the future. Tell me, young person, are you interested in preparing to be someone else's spiritual leader? Or are you maybe like Esau on the wrong road? The firstborn also received a double portion of his father's material holdings. In the case of two children, it simply means that the older would get 2/3 of the father's estate and the younger would get 1/3 of the father's estate. Well, Esau looked at that. He's a young man. He's 21. And he weighs the money and property that he would get more than his brother would get against what it would cost him, the responsibility that comes with accepting the birthright. Well, the responsibility was pretty clear. He's going to be spiritual leader in the family, and he has the responsibility of taking care of his mother. He has the responsibility of using those funds he's received to keep the estate going, to keep the farm going, to keep the family going. And, you know, here's where Esau and many today have limited vision. It's not worth what it costs to take responsibility for other people. It's not worth what it costs to be someone else's spiritual leader. I can get by. My dad's a pretty wealthy guy. He said, I can get by on a third of this with no responsibility. If you've chosen the road to ruin, you're dodging responsibility every chance you get. You're just doing what you enjoy today and what you want today. Very limited vision. He just couldn't see the future. Lord willing, most of you are going to find a mate and be married someday. You're going to be required to be a spiritual leader. You're going to be required to take care of your family. He that provideth not for his own, especially those of his own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, Paul tells Timothy. You are going to have these responsibilities, and if you don't prepare for those responsibilities, you'll not fulfill them properly. That's a difference in the road to righteousness and the road to ruin. But secondly, he lost everything valuable in the future. We're going to look in a few minutes at the end of Esau's life, and it was tragic. He died a bitter, angry man, literally with nothing. And particularly nothing in the lineage of spirituality. For the nation that he founded was totally destroyed. But first, he not only had no regard for the future, he had no respect for the family. The birthright was a family ordinance. It was given through God to take care of the family. You know, he made some horrible mistakes in his family. First of all, in his marriage. He heard his dad talking to Jacob about marriage, and he decided that he'd try to fool his dad. In Genesis 28, verse 6 through 8, we see the story. Let me read it to you. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from thence, he blessed him and he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him wives of Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham, the son of Nebajor, to be his wife. He said, well, Dad doesn't like us marrying Canaanite women, so I'll marry someone in our lineage with our background. But he chose someone non-spiritual, someone whose family had chosen to worship idols. But it didn't stop there. A little later on, when he took another wife from himself in Genesis 36, 1 and 2, now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan. He intentionally defied his father's wishes in his marriage. Let me tell you something. The family is the basic unit of God's economy. Just stop and think about it. God created the family. God made all the offices of the family. Father, mother, brothers, sisters. He calls himself our Father. He has taken a lead position in the family, if you will. We call each other as Christians, brother and sisters in Christ. So the family is the basic unit of God's economy. And here in this family, you had a relatively spiritual father in Isaac and a relatively spiritual mother in Rebekah. No, they're not perfect. No family is perfect. We're told that Rebekah loved one of them and Esau loved the other one. And we see a division within the family. But that division is no excuse for you to choose the wrong road. Yeah, it creates problems in the family and people feel stressed by it. But it is no excuse to say, well, I've been so maltreated in my family and my youth was so bad and the circumstances weren't right in my house and therefore I'm destroyed this way. None of these things have to destroy you as a Christian. I don't care what went on in your family. It can hurt badly, but it doesn't have to destroy you in your choice of the right road. And the excuse that this did destroy you is not a good excuse. Here in this family where the mother and father were interested in choosing the right mate, because my young friends, next to choosing salvation that God has offered to you, choosing your mate is the most important decision you make in life. I could bring you a lot of letters up here this morning from young people that have written me after they graduated from here and said, I made a mistake. I made the wrong choice. If you have Christian and godly parents, let them help you in making this choice. Prayerfully consider this choice. There's nothing more important than that choice next to being saved. Here's what the historian Josephus had to say about Esau and his marriage. Now, when Esau, one of the sons of Isaac, whom the father principally loved, was now come to the age of 40 years, he married Ada, the daughter of Helon, and Abjamah, the daughter of Esbon, which Helon and Esbon were great lords among the Canaanites, thereby taking upon himself the authority and pretending to have dominion over his own marriages. Listen, pretending to have dominion over his own marriages. Why did he say that? Generally speaking, God has created a mate for you. And if you're in God's will at the right place at the right time, you'll find that mate. And God's Spirit will direct you. And there are certain things in the Scripture. And I don't have time to preach a sermon on marriage today, but there are many sermons in the Bible. I think one of the most important chapters is the 24th chapter of Genesis that talks about Abraham arranging the marriage for Isaac, the father of these two boys, and the beginning of the Jewish race, which God chose to send his word throughout all the world at that time. But he pretended to have dominion over his own marriages without so much as asking the advice of his own father. He didn't have any respect for the family. It's none of Dad's business who I marry. I'll make my own choices. For Isaac had been the arbitrator. He had not given him leave to marry thus, for he was not pleased with contracting any alliance with the people of that country. But not caring to be uneasy to his son by commanding him to put away these wives, Isaac resolved to be silent. Here's a boy that made the wrong choice. And his dad said, it's too late. I've taught him right. I've told him right. He's made a choice. I'm not going to suggest divorce to him. I'm going to let him live with the choice he made. Well, he made a bad choice. And from that choice came a nation of heathen men that eventually was stamped out. And we'll see that in a few minutes in this passage of Scripture. That was his marriage. In his ministry, he had a ministry. He ended up being the father of a nation of heathen, the Edomites. Study the Edomites. They were idolatrous. They lived in adultery. They admired thieves. These are the descendants of Esau. Here's what Obadiah said in chapter 1, verse 18. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall be none remaining of the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken it. Here's a prophecy. After Esau started a whole nation of people who are obviously marching contrary to the instructions of God, the prophet Obadiah said, all this will end, and this lineage will not continue. And it wasn't many years later until we hear this story, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 14 to 15. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. Hadad the Edomite was king esteemed in Edom. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of his host was gone up to bury the slain after they had smitten every male of Edom. The prophecy of God came true. And we can see this historically in secular history. We can see it in the Bible. The line that Esau chose was the line that led to utter destruction. No spirituality. Wickedness. We see that all around us, young people, today in the society in which we live. We see these same problems today. Why did this happen? He chose the wrong road. And why did he choose the wrong road? Lastly, Esau had no reverence for the faith. He did not respect his father and his mother's faith. He decided to take another direction, another course of action. How did he turn out in the long run? Let me read you a passage. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17, if you want to follow along. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Or literally, it says in the original language, most are defiled by bitterness in life. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, this doesn't mean that he could not repent of his sin and get off the wrong road and on the right road. It literally means, in the construction of the language, he could not get his father Isaac to change his mind. He begged his father Isaac to go back and go ahead and give him the biggest part of the inheritance. And I think he was more interested in the financial part than the other part. And Isaac said, no, what's done is done. He crossed that line, young people. He crossed that line between God's patience and his wrath. And with tears, he tried to change things. You know, he chose a life of burdens rather than blessings. Verse 16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Profane, a man unclean. A man that's filthy life would not allow him into the presence of a merciful, forgiving God until he repented. A fornicator, a man who sought flesh from the time that all he wanted to do was hunt to the time that all he wanted to do was be in perverse relationships. What a terrible road. I don't think that this is what Esau thought he was getting into because he didn't see the future. I know he'd been taught right because he came from a family that taught right. He chose a life of burdens rather than a life of blessing. Which road are you choosing? You're going to find yourself in a constant series of crisis. I know in counseling I've talked to many people who've made bad choices, and their life ends up to be a series of crisis. And in these crises, they seemingly don't know where to turn. They have no one to go to. They've made bad choices. They've gone in the wrong direction. I never think about this passage, but what I think about a young girl many years ago, my first year in ministry, her brother was one of my best friends. He came to me and said, "My sister's in serious trouble. She's in a crisis. She needs help. She's 16 years old. One night when her parents were in church, she claimed to be sick. And her boyfriend came to visit her at home, and they got into an illicit physical relationship. And she found herself pregnant at 16 years old. They asked me for counseling, and they asked me questions I frankly couldn't answer at the time. Well, should she keep this baby? Should she put this baby up for adoption? The parents said, "Well, you know, she's 16. She hadn't finished high school. She's got a long life in front of her. The baby will be a burden to her." And they decided as a family to put this baby up for adoption. 5 years later, at 21 years old, this same man called me and he said, "Bob, could you talk to my sister again? She's in the hospital in Florida. She's tried to take her own life. She didn't succeed." I took off to Florida. I sat by her bedside and talked to her. She began to cry and she said, "I was in a situation where I didn't know what to do. So I put my baby up for adoption. Now every day my constant thought is, where is my baby? Is my baby in a Christian family? Is my child saved? Is my child being taught Scripture?" What an agonizing mind she had. Well, I sat there as an adult thinking, it's difficult to give you a good answer for the circumstances you've allowed yourself to get into, because you shouldn't have ever had to make this decision in the first place. You could have made the decision before you got pregnant, though I didn't say that to her, is what I was thinking. Young people, you make decisions today that can affect the rest of your life. Don't make them like Esau made them, just thinking about what he wanted in his life and what he wanted to do. He died a bitter man. Verse 17, you know that afterwards when he would inherit the blessing, he was rejected and he found no place of repentance or no way to get his dad to change his mind, though he sought it carefully with tears. The road to ruin has a lot of tears, and sometimes it has these crocodile tears that Esau prayed. He wanted to go back near the time of the death of his father and change everything he'd done. Do you know why? He had chosen the road to ruin. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. That hidden boundary that lies between God's patience and His wrath. And Esau crossed that line. Well, I close with my original question. Which road are you on today? It may be that you've taken the wrong road. Maybe you're going your own way. Your own way is the wrong way. None of us are perfect. But all of us have to choose the road that we'll live our lives on, the road to righteousness or the road to ruin.
Today's message serves as a reminder, especially to young people, that we can avoid the sorrows that come by choosing our own way, the way of ruin, by instead choosing the spiritual road of righteousness. What road are you on today? Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to join us next time for a message by the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.